Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
I am Puma.
On this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between. Guys, we are in our second week of this new series, studying and really not just studying, but analyzing, trying to pull out the heart of God, particularly in the Old Testament. And who is this God of the, quote, Old Testament? And last week, we talked about kind of introduction, Puma. We talked about a friend, right? And would you want the God of the Old Testament as a friend?
Yeah. And like, I think one of the verses was from Exodus 33:11, you know, God talked to Moses as a person talks to their friend face to face. Just that picture of God, you know, coming down and talking to Moses like a friend, just face to face. It was like, how cool is that?
Yeah. Crazy. You know?
Yeah. And we asked a question, I think last week, if you could hang out with any celebrity, just to hang out with for a day and talk with them, you know, who would it be? Mm-hmm. So your guy was Chuck Norris.
Yeah, who's yours?
I know, I was thinking about that, and I was like, I don't know. It's like, I don't like anybody. Yeah. No, I don't know. It's like, I mean, see, part of me is just skeptical. It's like, like we talked about last week, I don't want to hang out with someone because of what they have or what they can do. I mean, I want to be with someone because of who they are, you know, their character. And so, I don't know. I guess the older I get, the more skeptical I am. I'm not near as impressed with people in general as I used to be.
Yeah.
Until I get to know them.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I'm just kind of getting old and hopefully not crotchety, but hopefully more wise and aware. I mean, I would think maybe like some celebrities, big Buffalo Bills fan. So it'd be fun to hang out with the Bills, you know, team for a day and in the locker room and, you know, Josh Allen and the guys, and just see what they're like. I mean, I would be more curious than really wanting. I mean, just, you know, are they, you know, who are they?
That makes sense. Yeah, I thought of some sports teams, you know, even like YouTube celebrities. What are they actually like? Yeah, the curiosity more than I want to be their friend per se. But yeah. Well, speaking of friends, you know, on this topic of the Old Testament God, I 6 weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I was talking with our teens. We had a new guest with us, and this guest was a little bit skeptical too, but not of me, but of this God of the Old Testament. And as we started dialoguing, the conversation kind of led to, you know, why should I believe the God of the Old Testament? And I want to preface this too, just with all of us here, there is a huge disconnect between Jesus and the God of the Old Testament. And that's such an important thing to address, because
a disconnect in people's minds.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Not an actual disconnect.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. 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 So, but like an actual, because actually I think one and the same.
Yes.
But
thank you for the clarity. Yeah.
But in people's minds, I agree. I've heard the same thing from people, that there's a huge disconnect between Jesus in the New Testament and God in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Yeah. And we would both agree biblically in our own personal preference and understanding of God's word, Jesus is God. I mean, that's fundamental, even just for salvation. There is no disconnect, but you're right. The culture thinks there is. And in talking to this student, you know, she was pretty indignant. She goes, no, I have no problem with Jesus per se, but I can't believe in him. I can't put my faith in him. I'm like, oh, really? How come? She goes, well, because the Bible says, and she was referring to John 14:9, that Jesus claimed to be God. If you see me, you see the Father, she said. And he was talking about the Father being the God of the Old Testament. And the God of the Old Testament is evil, vindictive. He slaughtered babies, women, and children who were innocent. That God is awful. The God of the Old Testament, she said, was an awful, mean, cruel God. And if Jesus claimed that they're the one and the same, I can't trust in Jesus. Even if he is nice and loving and doing miracles and kind and compassionate, I cannot believe in Jesus. And so, friends, this is not just some theoretical concept we're talking about. This is real. I mean, this affects ministry in 2024. This is so, I would almost say, primary, because if we want to reach people with Jesus, we need to understand the God of the Old Testament and know how to communicate truthfully, not just our opinion, but truthfully, what was his character like? Is a God of the Old Testament just some angry man in a cloud, just sending lightning bolts, setting fires and sending plagues? I mean, is the God of the Old Testament some crazy mean God? I would say no, but a lot of the culture and social media spins this so easily, you know, that God would allow innocent babies and women to die. That's evil. And so if we don't clarify and highlight the character of God biblically, then Jesus is unfortunately, he can't be respected, right? Yeah.
And, you know, we would say that it is evil to, you know, slaughter innocents.
Right. Yes. Right.
Right. Those things are, I mean, what Hamas did on October 7th last year.
Yeah.
You know, like just slaughtering pregnant women and all, I mean, most of us are probably familiar with that. That is evil. Mm-hmm. That is evil.
Right.
And I don't know that that is God's will or purpose for that kind of evil to be able to do that. I think God uses those things.
Right.
But we would also say that if God is God, he better do something about that evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we read last week when God reveals himself to Moses and says that I'm gracious and compassionate. He also says I'm just. You know, I punish sins. You know, I want to forgive sin, wickedness, but I also punish, you know, those that are still guilty.
Right.
He didn't say I punish the innocent.
Yeah.
He said I punish the guilty.
Yes.
And we absolutely want God to be a God of justice.
Yeah.
You know, not just love only, but also of justice. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to a little long introduction. We want to get in, probably go back to the very, very beginning and start looking at the heart of God in the Old Testament. So should we do that, Tori?
Let's do it. Let's go to the very beginning.
Let's go to the very beginning.
In Genesis.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1.
Chapter 1, verse 1.
Chapter 1, let's go to the very beginning.
Yes.
It says, in the beginning, which God is the beginning, and God what?
Created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. And, you know, it just, I mean, the Bible just kicks off, you know, right at the very beginning. God is there, he exists, and he creates. Doesn't say anything about his character and nature. He just starts doing based upon his character and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he creates. Interesting in chapter 2, you know, talks a little bit more about the specifics of Adam and Eve's creation. He creates Adam from the dust of the ground. He creates Eve, you know, from Adam's rib, from his side. And so you have God creating Adam and Eve. Chapter 2, God says to Adam, he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And God, the Lord God, commanded the man, Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely, and what's the word, Tori?
Die.
Die. You will surely die.
Yeah. Mm. Big words.
Right. Right after that, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And so it goes on. And what's interesting there is right from the very beginning, God is concerned about Adam's relational needs.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm. Yeah, in a perfect garden.
In a perfect garden. Yeah. You know, it's not good, but God is concerned about Adam's relational needs.
Yeah, he cares.
Even though God and Adam had God, he was concerned because Adam had no one to share God with.
Mm.
And so... Mm-hmm. So you have the God creating Eve, which is amazing. So then we get to chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. The serpent said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, many are probably familiar with this, you know, this account of Genesis 3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to end well.
Right. Some people call this the fall.
Fall.
The fall of mankind. This is kind of that chapter.
The fall of mankind. Yeah, you know, we see Genesis 3, we saw the fall of mankind, and you know, a lot of people read this also and say, wow, man, God is so mean. God is so mean. You know, he kicked him out of, I mean, it was just one thing.
Yeah.
How bad could it be? It was just, I mean, why does God get so mad about one small little thing? It was just an apple or a fruit or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, honestly, I mean, God is being so nitpicky here, right? So I've heard people say, yeah, see, this is just an illustration of why you can't trust God in the Old Testament.
Mm.
I would say that Genesis 3 is as much about God's divine grace and mercy as it is the fall of man.
Mm.
But we don't think of Genesis 3 as the grace and mercy of God chapter.
Yeah, we don't. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we see it as just the fall of man and maybe God, you know, being God.
Right,
Doing his...
At best, we see God as being just, right, typically in this chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so Tori, you're familiar with this story. Mm-hmm. So what happens?
Yeah. So the woman, Eve, she believes the serpent. And she's like, yeah, well, God did, you know, he didn't say, he just said we couldn't eat from this tree, you know, because if you do eat it, we'll die. And the serpent's like, yeah, you're lying. No, God didn't say that. He just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is, right? The tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And so the woman eats the fruit. Then Adam must have been around or there later, but then he sees it. And again, the fruit was very pleasing to the eyes, very attractive. So then she gave some to her husband and he eats it. And boom, their eyes are opened.
Yeah. I mean, I love what it, well, I love, it's just so interesting to me. It says, Eve also gave some to her husband who was with her.
Yeah.
And he ate it. What a putz.
Yeah.
I mean, is he with her this whole time and not saying anything? Just yeah. kind of, I mean, anyway. This whole nother.
Right.
There are so many tangents in this passage. The serpent, Satan, you know, is a deceiver,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, what was the deception? What thought, deceptive thought, was he planting in Eve's mind?
Well, I think a couple, but the biggest is probably you can't trust God.
You can't trust God. Yeah, accusing God of maybe limiting her freedom.
Right.
Interesting. God told Adam, you can eat everything
right.
but one.
Yeah.
But Satan turns around and says, yeah, you know, he said that, you know, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? So Satan like turns it upside down and says, yeah. God's limiting you with everything.
Right.
He can't be trusted. He can't be trusted.
He highlights the one rule and twists it to make God look mean and evil.
You know, that God is squashing your freedom
mm-hmm.
and you deserve to be free. But he doesn't care about your freedom, because if he did, he lets you do whatever you want, because he knows God's holding back on you. He knows that if you do what he doesn't want you to do, that you're going to have something extra that he has that he doesn't want you to have, like the knowledge of good and evil.
Right. God's being selfish.
He's being selfish. Isn't this where temptation starts? Starts in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Starts in the mind, you know, and then creates an emotional response, right? And then we get some desires that maybe we shouldn't have, you know, and that leads to actions, consequences,
mm-hmm.
right? So the battle is always for the mind, you know, questioning things that we do or don't think.
Right.
But, you know, Satan's big idea was he was questioning God's character, questioning the heart of God. So what happened after that?
Well, their eyes are opened, right? So Adam and Eve both realize, oh, hey, we're naked. Not great. So they saw themselves and there was shame in that. And so I guess as God did, he strolls around and they hide from him. So Adam and Eve are hiding, you know, they realize they're naked and God calls out, hey, where are you guys? You know, and you know, I believe it's Adam, right? He calls out, it's like, oh, hey, we're, you know, we're hiding because we're naked. And God's like, who told you were naked?
Yeah.
And then he's like, did you do the one thing I said don't do?
Right. Yeah. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?
Yeah.
Right. What does Adam do? He doesn't say yes. He says, the woman.
Yeah. Well, the woman you gave
the
me.
The woman that you gave
he
me.
He blames God. Right. Yeah, he blames God. Well, God, it's your fault because you gave me this woman, right? And then God goes to Eve. He's like, is that true? She's like, well, hey, God, it's not my fault. It's the serpent.
The serpent. Yeah, you created the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the serpent deceived me, so I ate.
Right, yeah, they both deflect and blame God.
Right.
And then God, you know, he then dishes out the results of the
results.
Sin.
Yeah. Yeah, the results, the you know, the curse, three curses. Yeah. So God says to the serpent, you know, because you've done this, cursed are you above all the livestock. He says, and I'll put enmity, I will put this tension between you and the woman, between your offspring and to hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. You know, between the seed of the woman and the serpent. And that there's this could be this basically that this fight, this battle, this hostility,
mm-hmm.
and you know what's interesting there is when they were told that if they eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they will die.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So where do you see God's mercy and grace here in the curse?
Well, they're still alive.
Okay. Well, they're currently still alive, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think part of the death, it wasn't, yes, I mean, that's where we get sin and spiritual death enters, but he didn't send them there. It is now, because of this, that now eternal death is in the history of mankind, right? But he also gave them a relief from that too, you know? So, I mean, he doesn't send them instantly to hell, right? I mean, Yeah, because they are physically alive, but spiritually, right? Mm-hmm. Now they've entered a spiritual world of death. Now mankind is sinful by nature, you know, and by choice. And so that commandment, I guess the consequence, death is it was true. Death not enter the world. But he didn't send them to hell. He didn't say, now you are guaranteed to rot forever without me, which I think is amazing. He could have right there and then.
Yeah. He says, your offspring. So what does that imply?
They're going to have kids.
They're going to have kids, and that she's going to be around a while.
Yeah, right. That's true.
In the consequence, death. But even in the curse, he says you're going to have offspring, which means you're going to be around for a while, and your offspring are going to be around for a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Even when God said, if you eat it, you will die, he is showing mercy, even in this moment, you know, even in the curse.
Yeah.
Right? Even the curse. After, you know, the curse of the serpent and then the woman, you know, pain in childbirth and the man working the sweat of the brow. Then the next verse says, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living.
That happens after the punishment. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, she'd become the mother of all the living. Now, what is Adam recognizing here?
That God is giving them a second chance and giving them life to... His wife, Eve, will have, hundreds, if not thousands of kids.
Yeah.
You know, that God is giving them a lineage.
He's giving them, he's showing mercy to them and being gracious. You know, mercy because they're not getting what they deserve and grace because they're not only not getting what they deserve, but they're getting life, extended life, borrowed time, if you will.
Yeah.
It is amazing to me. Is God under any obligation to let them live?
Absolutely not.
No.
They clearly broke the one rule, and God would be justified to slay them and send them to hell. He could have done it right there.
There's no, God's under no obligation. So when the angels fell, right, was God obligated to redeem them and rescue them?
No.
No, and he didn't. Yeah. When Adam and Eve fell, was God under any obligation to rescue and redeem them?
No.
To show mercy to them and grace?
No.
No. So why did he?
Wow, he's just a merciful and gracious God.
That is his heart and character. When he said to, like we looked at last week, when he says to Moses, he said that, I am a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished, right? That is who God is. So we're even at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis. God creates Adam and Eve. And why does he create Adam and Eve?
Because he wants to.
he wants to create them for the purpose of having a relationship with him.
Yeah, to connect, to
a relationship with him that Adam and Eve don't deserve.
Right. Yeah,
and Adam and Eve, right at the very beginning, violated that relationship.
Right. Yeah. Right? God didn't receive them. Right. They
bought into the lie and the temptation that God's character is not what he says it is, not what they observe it to be. I mean, up to that point, they had everything. What is it that they lacked nothing?
Yeah, literally perfect garden, perfect world.
They literally lacked nothing. Yeah. Why would they doubt his goodness? Why would they doubt that he is not for them and not against them? I mean, even Adam, right? I mean, chapter 2 of Genesis, Adam is alone. God says, name all the animals. Not a suitable helper for Adam was found. So God made Eve for Adam, take care of his relational needs. And Adam's like, whoa. Right? I mean, we are so quick to question God's character. You know, why is it that we're quick to question his character? His goodness and his mercy and his grace. We're quick to cast judgment, you know? So this kind of leads to sort of our applicational question. You know, when we look at, you know, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, right at the very beginning, we see glimpses of God's heart, his mercy and his grace there in the garden. It ends where God provides clothes for them, right? To cover their shame. Yeah. And then he kicks them out of the garden, which is another act of mercy.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because also in the garden was a tree of life, and God didn't want them to eat from the tree of life and then to be locked into this sinful disposition
forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Why? Because God is a God who is holy and just, and he cannot dwell and entertain sin. So in a relationship with us as special creation, sin has to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. So he kicks them out of the garden for their own good and protection.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It just goes on and on. God's love and compassion, mercy and grace go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So God's not being mean and vindictive. He's being gracious and merciful here.
Yeah. I think it's cool that this is the fall of mankind chapter, right? But here we also see the very first acts, really, of God being merciful and gracious. And we see God showing immense patience and not giving the judgment which he rightfully could have given.
Yeah.
We see him withholding his justice. And like you said, borrowed time. He doesn't, I mean, yes, they do eventually die. And yes, there is sin in the world.
Right. The consequences do come.
Right.
Right. God doesn't wipe those, say, whatever, do whatever.
Right.
But that slow to anger part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And they lived a long time.
Long time.
900 some years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's amazing. But no, that's cool that the fall is also the first act of God showing his character.
Yeah.
And it is a good, gracious, still just, but very merciful.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So what's a good application question in light of this story of the fall, but also the first acts of mercy?
Yeah. Well, you know, one applicational thought is, you know, how has God been gracious and merciful to you? How have you seen God, you know, just in the recent past, extend mercy and grace to you? Maybe you deserve something, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, because of your sin. Or maybe something that you weren't expecting, but God graciously gave to you something, a blessing or benefit that you weren't expecting. You know, and I would say, you know, one of the application two questions is, you know, this week, can you put on some grace, mercy, God glasses and look for God's grace and mercy in your life and the lives of people around you? You know, because I think we're quick to cast doubt and judgment on God being, you know, bad. But we don't actually look for how God is being gracious and merciful in our lives on a daily basis.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, to verbalize and to look for, but to share that too. I think sometimes we think in our minds, God was good here and I didn't get in the car accident and I made it to work safely. But sometimes the act of verbalizing that, I want to tell someone how good God is today. Like, I'm going to share with my spouse or my sibling or my parent, like, yeah, God has been so good to me. Can I tell you how he's been good to me? And maybe even encouraging them to do the same. Yeah. Because you're right, God is so merciful and gracious, even in our failings, especially in our failings. God extends his hand of love to us. And there is a reason to give thanks.
Yeah.
That's a good application question. well, thank you, Puma. And thank you guys for joining us in this episode today. As always, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. Even with that, you know, just be grateful. And we are grateful that God has given us a platform. This is definitely a hand of mercy and grace in our lives that God has given us this, you know, simple platform. And we're so thankful that you guys have come alongside us, which is very encouraging. And it's cool for me. And I think, Puma, you would agree.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
That this reminds me of God's mercy and grace, that we can do this and not be arrested. We can do this and have the freedom just to say these things and to share God's word. That's a blessing. And some parts, maybe most parts of the world, you can't do that.
Right.
And we can. So, yeah, I want to be better at thanking God and telling people about that. So let me tell you, I'm thankful that God's given us this podcast, this platform, because it's not because we're so good. It's because God is so great.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you again. And hey, we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.